Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about chronic wasting disease, Eloise Cobell Day, and the youngest person ever elected as a Fort Peck Tribal Executive Board member. It's Tuesday, November 5th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana wildlife officials say a mule deer buck harvested during archery season northeast of Joliet tested positive for chronic wasting disease. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks says a Yellowstone County hunter harvested the deer on private land in mid-October. FWP sent samples to Colorado State University and alerted the hunter when results were returned yesterday. The deer was harvested within a current CWD management zone. Those zones outline carcass transportation restrictions, part of an effort to slow the disease's spread. The zone south of Billings was expanded last month after a white-tailed buck near Huntley tested positive for CWD. CWD was first found in Montana in 2017 and has since been detected in north-central and northeastern Montana, along with recent detections around Libby. Last year, FWP reported 26 CWD cases among wild deer statewide, with five in the management zone south of Billings. Missoula is not known for moose, but there will be a lot more paddleheads in the Montana city when the next baseball season opens. The Missoulian reports the Missoula Osprey announced plans yesterday to change its name to Paddleheads, with an updated logo and merchandise displaying the moose nickname. Officials say the team decided 11 months ago to change its nickname and received nearly 500 suggestions submitted online. Team officials were down to six finalists in March, including Paddleheads, when they received news of a cow moose and calf roaming through downtown Missoula a block from the team office. An official says, at that point, the Paddleheads was born. Officials say the Paddleheads logo will be on hats and shirts, and a moose mascot will roam the field during games. Eloise Cobell, the Blackfeet woman who spearheaded a lawsuit alleging rampant federal mismanagement of Indian trust funds, would have been 74 years old today. The lawsuit she championed ended with a $3.4 billion settlement, providing money for an Indian education scholarship fund and a land trust program. Cobell was a rancher who helped found Native American Bank. In 2015, Governor Steve Bullock issued a proclamation recognizing November 5th as Eloise Cobell Day. University of Montana student Joseph Grady says Cobell
stood up for indigenous identity and Native American people.
Grady is UM's student diversity coordinator. During the university's Indigenous Peoples Day celebration last month, Grady described Cobell as a woman, quote, certainly worth honoring, end quote.
Native American people and indigenous people across these lands, including Hawaiian Islands and in Mexico, have literally given up everything so that this space around us can exist. And it's not always come voluntarily. And so Eloise Cobell made a little bit of headway in that conversation. She stands as sort of a champion in that regard, where she fought for Native American people and she got some reparations.
In 2016, President Barack Obama awarded Cobell the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the nation's highest civilian honor. She died in 2011 due to complications from cancer. The city of Helena has reached a $100,000 settlement with a teacher who suffered hearing damage during an active shooter drill at an alternative high school. Lynn Trainery sued, saying she suffered hearing loss and a permanent ringing in her ears after an officer fired a blank near her during a June 2016 exercise to train teachers how to respond to a school shooting. The city initially responded that Trainery had been told to cover her ears and that it was possible her hearing damage came from a prior incident. The Independent Record reports the lawsuit was formally dismissed last week. The settlement reached in May protects the city from any further legal action in the matter. The city confirmed Friday it is now using air rifles in active shooter training. The Associated Press has appointed Matt Voles as news editor for the Rockies region, which includes the states of Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, and Utah. Voles was the interim Rockies news editor over the past year before he was appointed to permanently fill the position. Since beginning with the AP in 2002, Voles has covered stories from the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of Alaska. The speed limit on a deadly stretch of US 212 in southeast Montana has been reduced to 65 miles per hour. The Billings Gazette reports that the Montana Department of Transportation lowered the speed limit October 1st on the highway's corridor that passes through both the Crow and Northern Cheyenne reservations and four counties: Bighorn, Rosebud, Powder River, and Carter. The stretch merges with Interstate 90 at the Bighorn Battlefield Interchange and travels 167 miles east to the Montana-Wyoming state line. MDOT Traffic and Safety Bureau Chief Gabe Preby says statistics show the stretch is the deadliest highway in Montana. In an earlier report, we mistakenly identified the age of a recently elected Fort Peck Tribal Executive Board member. As Olivia Reingold reports, Alexander Smith is actually younger than 24, making his recent election to the Tribal Executive Board a record-breaking win.
Don't let his suit and tie fool you. Alexander Smith is 20 years old. That makes him 4 years younger than the previous record holder, Ken Smoker.
Oh my gosh, I'm about to cry in Walmart just talking about it.
Smith is at a Walmart about an hour and a half away from Wolf Point because he says there aren't enough local businesses on the reservation to get everything he needs. He campaigned on the premise that it doesn't have to be that way.
Our biggest downfall is going off the reservation when we don't have to.
If the economy was better, he says some tribal members wouldn't turn to drug dealing to make money. The unemployment rate on the reservation is between 5 and 12%, depending on the data set. For comparison, the state average is just over 3%. Smith says another way to deter crime is to give kids more things to do.
Like a bowling alley or just a place for them to go and play. It'll give them that excitement and the social interactment with all the other kids.
He says he's working on submitting a grant to get a new playground on the reservation. Drug abuse and crime prevention is something he says came up at over 18 forums and rallies he held during his campaign. This was his second race. He says he ran as soon as he could at age 18. Here's Smith in a Facebook video once he won.
And I'm so speechless and shaking. Words can't describe of how grateful I am.
He grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and moved to Fort Peck shortly after graduating high school. He says he's received a few negative messages about growing up off the reservation, but doesn't see it as a problem.
Just because I didn't grow up on Fort Peck doesn't mean I never faced any of the problems that other people do.
He says he was raised by a single mother and has relatives who struggle with drug and alcohol addiction. Smith joins a council with four other newcomers. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Olivia Reingold is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America core member. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for You Early Birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.